Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everyone.
I'm Brenda.
And I'm Julia. And you're listening to Roaring Twenties Podcast.
Your 20s are known as both the most exciting and most confusing years of your life. We're here to share our stories, to have real and raw conversations, and best of all, to make you feel a little less alone.
This podcast was brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. Do you believe?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Roaring Twenties Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. If at any point in this episode we somehow disappear, it's because I've had an allergic reaction and died.
Yeah, I genuinely don't know what's wrong with Julia.
There's something happening.
She's progressively turning more pink and puffy, and that's fine. We respect her. But what is happening?
To match my sweatsuit.
That's for sure not
What's her name? Violet from Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she turned Violet to match her.
This just seems unintentional.
Yeah. I'm having, you know, a swollen eye. Mm-hmm. Maybe my throat's closing up a little
Stop.
Bit.
That's awful.
I don't know what I'm having an allergic reaction to, but I'm just trying to match my sweatsuit.
Right.
We're just really on brand all the time.
We're working through it.
We're not gonna die. It's just, we just might look a little puffy and crazy, but here we are. If you were concerned, that's where we went.
That's where we're at.
But we're gonna push through to record this episode.
Yes, we're so excited.
Because on Thursday, I'm so
I know. I know
excited.
You are.
Brenna knows how excited I am. We're having Maren Altman on. Maren is an astrologist. Is that the right word?
I think it's a professional astrologer.
Oh.
I don't actually know, to be honest.
Yeah, no, astrologist sounds is like a gynecologist.
And I think it's like for the stars.
Yeah. For the stars.
In the
She's
sky.
A professional astrologer. She's also studying
philosophy. Yes.
She is so cool.
So cool.
Maren Altman, check her out. I think she kind of got famous from TikTok, but she's like so intelligent and smart. Her whole platform is about astrology, and she's so cool, and her like videos are hilarious. She's also very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are gonna love her. I'm so excited.
It's gonna be a great energy. We cannot wait to meet her, and then, you know, for you to meet her in turn to an extent.
And I feel like we've been wanting to get someone to talk about astrology on for a while.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This is something Julia is super passionate about, as you know, because we kind of talked about it very briefly on our episode with Lindsay from We Met at Acme.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely something I'm not as well versed in. Even though Julia is super passionate about it, we definitely would love to learn more from someone that knows what the heck they're talking about.
I love the idea of it, but I actually don't really know much about it at all. Like, I know a little bit about my side, but I don't really know too much or like where to get the information. So I'm so hyped.
Yes, it's going to be so, so good.
Yes. So after we do Pride and Pickle, we're going to talk a little bit about me and Brenda's signs and like what we identify with, and because we really know nothing on this topic, so we're gonna have to wait for Maren to enlighten us
for sure.
But anyway, first things first, most importantly, it's time for Pride and Pickle.
Amazing. What was that? A hairball?
It was a little throat closure.
A hairball. Okay. So my pride this week is I just feel so, so good in my relationship, and I'm so happy. And
oh my God.
That probably feels really corny, and some people want to turn this
off.
No,
I love that. That's really big for Brenda, because she's really bad at saying that things are just good when things are good.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always thinking about all other things. So to elaborate briefly, I just love, me and Chris feel like a unit lately, even though, like, I don't know how the fuck you want to define a unit, but anyway, we've just done distance for so long when we were in college, and then even when we were in high school, like, our schedules were different, we didn't go to the same school, so, like, for our entire relationship, I feel like we've been doing distance to an extent, and granted, I know I've been home from college for, like, 2 years now and whatnot, but he was going through the police academy for my senior year, and then we were just, like, adjusting to him with his new job and such. So anyway, I've always felt like we've had to really, really treasure the time that we do have together. And trust me, we still do treasure it. But I've just felt lately, like, even without any, like, titles or whatever, which you don't need, I just really feel like a unit. Like, I love being able to feel like we're us and not just like, oh, Chris and Brenda. Like, I feel like we're, I don't know. I like, we're giving gifts together, and, like,
it just feels like you guys are, like, really both moving quite seamlessly on your own paths together.
Yes. Oh my God. What What a beautiful way to put it. That's how I feel. That's genuinely how I feel. And it's such a beautiful way to feel. Really, and I get a lot of validation from my mom. Is so important to me. Both my parents are. But I feel like my mom recently has really seen like how special our relationship is. Yay. And like on Thanksgiving, my mom, me and Chris were just cracking up, and my mom was like laughing at us laughing. She's like, "You guys were so silly. Like, you're making me laugh. I love watching you." And it made me so happy. So like, she saw a great side of us. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's on that. And it's fascinating to me how what we focus on grows. I'll leave it at that. Focus on the gratitude and the good, baby. It'll grow. Then my pickle. What's my pickle? I think right now work. The reason for that is because I don't know. I'm just feeling like I don't even think it's overwhelmed. I just feel like I don't have a set. I have a set description at work, but what I do is not any of those things. I feel like I'm doing more. So much has shifted, and sometimes it's just harder. But relevant to Julia, I'm not trying to do a double pickle, but the whole empath thing is so freaking high for my mom. I literally cannot like function sometimes. Yeah. If I feel like she's sad or something, I'm like, go get a massage, go do this. Oh, here's an empanada that's gonna make you happy, here you go. So yeah, really really random assortment of things.
No, that's okay.
And one of my toxic traits is rubbing off my gel nails. Just thought you should know.
It's really gross. I think my biggest pet peeve like of all time is people picking at their nails.
Julia, I didn't know that. I thought you were just kidding that it was like sort of bothering you. I didn't know it was that bad.
Oh no, yeah. But it's okay because I like people do it all the time, so I've gotten pretty good at like not letting it bother me as much.
Okay.
This is not me being passive aggressive to friend. I promise.
Oh my gosh, I've been doing it for like 2 hours.
For some reason it like freaks me out.
Yeah, she did say, you know, I should have taken the hint when she said I feel like I'm gonna throw up. Like she said that, like,
I did say it. I wasn't being passive.
I thought she was joking or being dramatic.
No, I'm not upset at you for doing it. I really have gotten so used to people doing it because like so many people do it.
Yeah.
It like totally is one of my biggest pet peeves. It freaks
it's
me
so
out.
It's so weird. It's not something I like constantly do, but if it falls off, I think it's like I want them all to look the same. And if they don't, it bothers the shit out of me.
Wow, I still don't feel that way.
You can go along with a rogue nail. It's cool.
The rogue, yeah, I love a rogue nail. It's my Luke.
My Luke.
We did take some pictures today for the show, and Brenda was like, I have a rogue nail, I'll decide it.
So instead of like using my other hand without a rogue nail, I like tried to hide my middle finger behind the mug, and I looked like I was missing a literal finger.
We were like, Brenda, other hand.
It just didn't feel right.
It's okay.
Julia, what's your pride and pickle? Please share it. Tell us.
My pride this week is, I haven't told you about this yet.
Uh-oh.
It's so funny.
I always say uh-oh when I don't know something.
I know, uh-oh. It's so funny because me and Brenda have been together since 8 a.m. this morning. It's now 2:45. And like, it's hilarious because I feel like we talk for so long and there's still things that I need to tell you.
Okay, what is it?
So you know how I have been talking about how I feel like my throat chakra is blocked.
Oh, yes!
I'm working with a pranic healer tomorrow, an energy healer.
Holy fucking shit.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited for you.
I got her from my dad.
Great recommendation.
He knows what he's talking about. We're doing it over Zoom, obviously, COVID safe. He's also in Miami, so no way to do it in person. But she is like from this like huge lineage of shamans and pranic healers, and I'm so excited to see what she says slash what it's gonna do. I talked to her on the phone the other day just to like make the appointment, and she was like, oh yeah, it's blocked, I hear it.
Really?
Yeah. And she also said that just from like talking to her on the phone, she thinks that, I don't know what the other the chakra that like your diaphragm is, but she said that there's something going on there too.
Wait, that's
and that
so
was just from like our minute conversation on the phone from like hearing my voice.
Oh, she's gonna be really
she's gonna
cool.
be amazing. I think she's also like, this woman is like 65, she looks 40, and she wears like long flowy dresses and rides a BMW motorcycle, and I'm like, I want to be this bitch.
Whoa.
Right.
Oh, I'm really excited for you.
I'm
guys
so excited.
Julia
so
has been talking about her closed throat chakra
for
way too long.
Honey. So crazy.
No, but I like, you
well,
really
it's getting healed
it.
Tomorrow
it's getting healed. Is that a, not to sound naive, is that like a multiple session thing, one session thing? How does that work?
I guess it depends on how much you need. She said she doesn't work with clients for too long, like I guess it would probably be like a 1 to 3 session kind of thing, and then she like gives you like tools like breathing techniques and like stuff to like maintain the healing, I guess. But before I meet with her, I have to shower and do like a salt scrub.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That was my homework to do before.
Interesting.
Because you're not allowed to shower for like 12 hours afterwards.
Not hard for my dirty friend.
Not hard for me. Exposed.
exposed. It's okay. Any potential suitors aren't listening.
But yeah, so I'm really excited.
That's so cool. I don't know why you would know this, but do you know what causes a closed throat chakra?
I do not.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I know nothing about this.
Okay. So maybe get a little vibe for her, see if she'd be a good guest. Maybe email her. Maybe she could
She's from Argentina.
Ooh.
She's a beautiful accent. A live healing? Be interesting.
Don't cry for me.
Argentina.
The truth.
Oh my God. Yes. But yeah, so that's exciting. I will report next week and tell you all about how
Please.
It went.
Yeah.
I know nothing about this. I mean, it could do nothing, but it could do world.
Could do everything. Could unclog.
Could unclog. And then I have a second pride.
Love that.
Sorry, against the rules.
I think that every time. Okay.
If you haven't listened to Emily's episode yet, listen to Emily. But she gave us a tip about when she does her gratitude, that she does 10 gratitudes a day and why. And I started doing the why, and it makes such a difference. Like, I was feeling so down the other day. I was like really upset. I had an audition that didn't go well, and I was like really mad at myself. That's my pickle, like being like so sometimes. So this is the pickle, and then the second pride is off the pride pickle. But I just get really, really hard on myself, and like it's not great. But sometimes, usually I'm pretty good at it, but like sometimes I just get so frustrated at myself. So I was feeling really frustrated at myself and really down. And, you know, I let myself feel it for a little while, and then I was like, you need to stop. This is a horrid feeling. So I was like, okay, I'll do a meditation, and then I'll like read a little bit and blah, blah, blah. And then the next morning I woke up still feeling pretty bad. And I was like, okay, you know, do my practices to help me try to set my day better. And so I did the gratitude and the why, and it like completely changed my mood. I was like, oh my God, fuck that feeling. Like my life is great. Yes. I have so much to be grateful for. And like, I was doing gratitude in the morning, whether I was writing it down or saying it out loud, but I was just saying the things and I wasn't saying why. And it really makes such a difference.
Yes, 100%. And I think I have to commend you and share that I think a lot, and there's nothing wrong with sitting in feelings and feeling them and understanding them or having them shift, whatever, but I think it goes to show that like you don't have to stay stuck in it, and that we do have the power to shift that. And I know sometimes it's harder than others, but it can be a little closer than we think. Like I can so relate to that. Thursday, going off of my pickle because of work, like I felt so much like energy was trapped inside of me, and I didn't know what to do about it. Like literally, I think we had these moments kind of on the same same day, and I just like remember I didn't know what to do. Also similarly to you, I'm sure, especially in a work setting, like I put a lot of, even if it's not related to something I'm passionate about, I put a lot of, I don't know if it's my worth, but a lot of how I feel on we both work really hard. We're both really hard workers. So if something comes into play that feels like it's questioning our ambition or how hard we work, because we so deeply do it in certain capacities, or actually in most capacities, it feels like it hurts and it's sensitive. And I work in a place with a lot of men, honestly, especially in the office. So sometimes like it feels like a little tricky to be sensitive, and they're so sweet and caring. It's so funny to have, like, not anything against males or anything, but it's funny when they like come and they're like, you sure you're okay?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a different energy.
It is a different energy. But anyway, I know that feeling. I think everybody can relate to that feeling of like energy feeling stuck or feeling down and not knowing what to do, not wanting to sit in the feeling, but like not knowing what to do. And it's so beautiful that something like doing gratitudes and adding why can shift your energy.
It really did. Like, I felt like a weight like kind of lifted off my shoulders. It was 100%. Crazy.
No, and I felt the same. And I would hate this answer like 2 years ago. So I'd be like, oh, you weren't feeling great and you exercised? Come on, bitch. Like, come on. But like, I felt, I don't know how to describe it. I felt a heaviness. I felt like something needed to come out of my body. I didn't know how, and I didn't know how to release it. And I couldn't really do anything private unless I went outside. So I went for a run. I listened to the Come From Away soundtrack.
Such a great soundtrack.
Such a great show. And I immediately, like, I was literally crying on my run. I'm like, oh my God, people are gonna think something happened, like really, really bad happened to me. But it was like, it's like cathartic to have a release of sorts. So interesting.
Yeah. So if you're feeling down, try the whys with your gratitude. Or if you've been wanting to practice gratitude and you feel like it's not really doing anything, do the whys. It doesn't have to be these big things. Like I did 10 things because that's what Emily said. And I usually just do 3. Mm-hmm. And I think the 10 really helps, because 3 is not that many. But when you could say, I have like these 10 things and I'm really grateful for them and here's why, you feel pretty lit up.
Totally.
And they don't have to be big things. Like one of the things on my list was like the warm cup of coffee that I'm drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes me feel safe and comfortable, and it's delicious, and it brings me momentary joy. you know, like
100%.
It can be small.
Definitely. And like also I find that, I think I've probably shared this on the podcast before, but I always end the gratitude with wishing people in people. I always say this phrase. I say I wish peace, love, safety, and joy for people that I love.
I love that.
Or for people that I love and beyond. Because obviously beyond. I don't really know and love everyone because I don't know.
Like that.
And I always end my gratitude like that. And it really helps me because I feel like it takes the positive energy that I feel from the gratitude and like exudes it out.
Yes.
So it's a really, really positive way for me to end it. So just a little tip if anyone's looking for it.
A little tip.
And I really feel it. And I think that's why I know you and I have said that we've started like embodying the feeling of gratitude more so, especially this year. And I think that adding the why can definitely help you actually feel it.
Yes.
You know?
Huge.
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 Yep.
So there we go. And now it's time to talk about the stars.
The stars and how they align.
The stars. Brenda, do you want to tell me about your chart?
Yeah, I don't really know much about it. This one time, Julia made me download CoStar, and she was like, oh, I'm going to give you a reading. And I got so excited. I'm like, does she have a talent? I don't know.
No, I have no doubt.
And then she's like, no, I'm actually, like, I'm literally reading.
Like, I'm literally reading. Yeah, I'm going to give you a reading. Here's me actually just reading what the app is saying to you out loud.
Okay. So should I tell you like what it says for me today or tell you like my genuine chart?
No, what's your sun sign?
Okay, let me look
you know,
for that.
That's my like the sun sign that you know.
It's my Aquarius.
Yes, Brenda's an Aquarius. Which is very interesting. Aquarius are interesting people. I definitely want to ask Marin about you.
Okay, I want to know too.
I wonder if she can guess.
Sun in Aquarius. It's the core of who you are. You're most likely to already know. You are fundamentally unconventional and anti. Huh, I don't think so.
I don't really think so either.
You carry a lot on your shoulders and you have a need to fight for the underdog.
Yes, that's for sure true.
In your eighth house, meaning you feel the need to distinguish yourself from others through darkness, taboos, rebirth, sex, and transformation.
I laugh so hard that the microphone fell off. That is so not true.
I don't know about that.
I wouldn't necessarily call myself taboo.
I like to think light, not quite dark.
It's funny though, because I do know a few Aquarii. Love them very much.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, and you guys all have similarities. There's like a deep thinking, I think, that happens with you people.
With you people.
Aquarii. You're deep thinkers.
Deep thinkers.
And you're very, I think you're feelers. You feel a lot.
Mm-hmm. Intellect is insightful, unconventional, and super meta.
That's so true. That's for sure true.
You enjoy intellectual banter, though you sometimes push your ideas on others. Really?
I don't think you push your ideas on others, but you do like intellectual banter. But that is true of the male Aquarius.
I gotta say though, my thing talks about sex so much and like every single yes.
It's does it think you're a boy? Because actually I know like three male Aquarii and they're pretty sexual.
That's very, maybe I put the wrong gender. It says it determines how you assert, take action, and the energy that surrounds you, particularly in your sex life, your ambitiousness, and when you're angry. I think I feel anger very rarely. This is very fascinating.
What's your Venus?
And it's me. You assert yourself in a way that is dreamy, intuitive, thoughtful.
No, sorry. What's your ascending? Tell me that first.
Ascending. Ascendant in Cancer. Your ascendant is the mask you present to people. It can be seen as your personal style and how you come off to people when you meet. Your ascendant in Cancer, meaning you come across as gentle, intuitive, and warm, though some may regard this as overly emotional or sensitive to criticism. Honestly, all pretty true.
That's pretty true. Also, by the way, Brenna's reading off of CoStar, if anyone was wondering.
Oh, yes, the CoStar app. Do you have any other questions for me, Jelia?
Yeah, I want to know, hold on.
How I express my affection, perhaps?
And what's your moon?
Oh, I'm so smart. Moon in Capricorn. I don't know why I said that. Moon in Capricorn. The moon rules your emotions, moods, and feelings. This is likely the sign you think of yourself as, since it reflects your personality when you're alone or deeply comfortable. Your moon is in Capricorn, meaning your emotional self is somewhat repressed in the name of responsibility, seriousness, and rationality. Huh. I don't think so. You crave the guidance and comfort of a teacher or parent. Okay, yeah. I love a guidance.
You do love a guidance.
Love a guidance. And my Venus is in Aries, which indicates how I express affection or qualities I'm attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
Romantic side is enthusiastic, impulsive, and direct. You fall in love quickly and out of love just as fast. You tend to be forthright and direct with your crushes, even if you haven't confessed. You make a lot of inside jokes, touch them a lot, and maintain eye contact. You alternate between seeming demanding and disinterested in the relationship. See, like, I don't think so.
Okay, are you sure you put your, like, time of birth and shit in right?
I don't know.
Maybe you're wrong.
Okay, maybe. Talk about you, because now I'm confused.
You're definitely an Aquarius. That's obviously your sun. But I wonder if, like, your time of birth and stuff is wrong.
Totally my birth.
And you put in Paraguay?
Paraguay? Yeah. Time zone.
Interesting. We're gonna have to ask Mara.
Yeah, we should just ask her. I don't
know. Wait, because it would be, the time zone there is different than...
Yeah, but if I put, the birthplace... Oh, you're right. It does say override time zone. The reason to change this is if your ascendant is wrong and you were born prior to 1970 or born in Indiana. That's not
That's
me.
That's not you. Wait, what's up with Indiana?
I don't know. We got to ask her that, too.
Oh, my God. Maren, we have so many questions. Okay, also, Thursday's episode is not going to be Maren just, like, telling me and Brent about our signs.
No.
We're going to ask her about, like, actually real astrology questions. And how people can, like, apply it to their lives and, like, why it's
but
useful.
But hopefully this is funny.
But hopefully this is providing some insight into Brent and I, if you're interested. My son's in Leo. Obviously, I think I'm very much a Leo. I'm surprised I have Leo is my sun in Venus, which totally makes sense to me. But I'm surprised I don't have more Leo in my chart. But those are really strong Leo.
Tell me about a Leo for you. What does it mean? You don't have to read it, but you naturally know stuff.
Well, Leos are like very extroverted and outgoing usually. They like attention. And Leos usually are like artists or because we like attention and shit. So
clap for her.
And they're right. Like so many actors are fucking Leos. Very loyal. Like leaders, not like natural leaders, like stuff like that.
Interesting.
That's like the Leo stuff that I identify with. Mm-hmm. This says you're fundamentally bold and proud. You love attention and to be cared for. You pay it back in kind with your charm and your ability to make people feel better when they're blue. You know what your skills are and how to use them. It's in your fourth house, meaning you feel the need to distinguish yourself from others through home and family. That one is interesting to me. The other things make sense.
Yeah.
And then my moon is in Taurus, which also makes sense to me because Taurus is like very emotional.
Stubborn one?
No.
Oh.
It says that your moon is in Taurus, meaning your emotional self is very romantic and sentimental. You're deeply loyal to the people you care about and try hard to maintain security and stability within those relationships. You often feel powerless to fix messy situations, but your way of thinking through these things are sensible and practical. That all kind of seems
really
to make
sense, a lot of
sense to me.
Yeah.
And then my ascending is also Taurus. So I'm a Leo with a double Taurus.
A double Taurus.
And this is the mask that I wear. Some say it's less relevant as you get older. I come across as highly attuned to practical and material matters, especially pleasure and hedonism. But that same materiality gives people the impression that you are reliable, settled, sensible, and deliberate, though sometimes stubborn. I think that's true.
Yeah, me too. This feels like this is crazy, like, to me
that mine feels so accurate,
so
and
accurate.
Yours feels
and
so
mine
not
is like you are someone that trumps the streets with your top off, which is fine. Which is literally like I'm so
maybe
happy for that.
You just haven't stepped into yourself, your full self.
But like that just I don't know.
You're
I
meant
feel
to be
pretty,
a dominatrix.
That's what I feel like my thing is telling me, and I just don't.
I think it's telling me that you just like haven't fully stepped in.
But I just feel the most aligned with myself that I've ever felt, and the idea of a dominatrix for myself
is not in there.
It doesn't feel right, to be honest.
Are you sure?
I do. Yes. Yes.
I think that you're missing out
that's
on
what,
something.
This is what
we're going to ask.
We're
going
to ask her. Yeah. Should it just be? Should Brenda be a dominatrix?
That's one that's going to be the title of this episode now. Two. We're gonna start the episode with Maren. Hey, Maren, thanks for being here. The question we want to focus on for this episode is, do you think Brenda should be a dominatrix?
I have, like,
based on her chart?
Energy. This is fascinating.
Can you please read her chart and let us
and
know?
And let us know. Okay,
if she's
we'll
going
get
down
back
the wrong
to you guys.
Path.
If she tells me, I guess I'll switch it up. I don't know. I'll pivot.
Pivot. We love a pivot. All right, so that's all we've learned about astrology
that's all
so
we know.
Far. Thanks, CoStar, for teaching us some fundamental
some
basics.
Fun things. Yeah.
I'd love to know what your sun, moon, and ascending are if you want to send us a message.
Please do.
Let us know.
Yeah, we would love
and
that.
And if you have a more accurate reading of Brenda's chart, let us know.
Yeah, that would be actually even more helpful. I have to be real with you. That would be way more helpful.
Yeah, but Thursday, Maren's actually going to teach us about astrology and how to use it in relationships, in our day-to-day life. She talks a lot about like politics and the world in relation to astrology, so we're gonna get some real good tips from her.
Yeah, definitely. That's part of the reason why I'm so interested in this stuff, and I mean interested in terms of, like, I want to know about it, but I haven't made the effort to know about it. That goes for this, that goes for like personality type of things, for Enneagram, because I've had conversations with people like Ariel, and she's told me that it's made it so much easier to be able to, like, I guess, read people. I feel very naturally intuitive, but she said, like, you really know a lot about a person if you know, oh, like, this is their core fear. And this is in terms of Enneagram, but, like, this is their core fear. This is part of their personality. You know what I mean? Because we tend, right, kind of like how Julia and I talk about in terms of love languages, like, we tend to either take things personally or assume people don't feel things in the same way when it's just literally not the language that they speak. It's not how they feel loved. It's not how they naturally express it. But there is a way to compromise. So I feel like just having a better idea of, oh, like, this is kind of how this person, this is what they value. This is, you know, then it can really just give you a better idea of why they carry themselves the way that they do.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm most excited to learn from her as well, of, like, how does knowing this information affect us? How can we implement it?
Yes.
In ways to, like, help us, whether it's in relation to other people or the way that we deal with the world or approach the world. Like, how is having this kind of information helpful or useful?
Totally. And there are so many different, like, variations. Obviously, again, I don't know enough about this, but, like, there are so many variations between that, between now they have, I don't know if it's actually new or if I'm just finding out about it, the, like, human design and, like, all that stuff. And I just wonder how, like, how they're different, but also how they're interconnected because there are so many things about astrology that I'm certain play into why Enneagrams are a certain way that they are. And I just wonder how that all coincides, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't, I'm just fascinated to begin with.
Because we're all, you know, like, we're in terms of quantum physics, like, we're all energetic beings. And so the way that energy reacts off of other energy, you know, obviously is, like, the way that the world works. So it's interesting to know, like, if people are radiating at different frequencies based on, like, what time they were born, where they were born, or, like, you know, what Enneagram they are, like, whatever, like, you can learn how to relate to other people better, I guess.
Yeah. And it's also interesting because I feel like it's something that comes up in terms of, like, relationships, right? Romantic relationships, and it's like, oh, you're dating another Leo, oh, you're dating an Aries, like, what and, like, to me, I have no idea what that means, but I'm curious to know, like, how that actually impacts the type of love that you seek, whether it's, like, I don't know, inherent, the way people express characteristics and stuff like that. And I honestly think about it in terms of my relationship too, because I obviously know why I value what I value and why I love what I love in terms of, like, who Chris is and how he is, but why, like, what is there more to it?
Yeah,
you know,
it is it's just interesting to know, like, how how useful can this information be. And oh, when you start to notice, like, patterns in your life, like, I notice that I tend to gravitate towards lots of Leos, like, it like, I'll, like, meet people in my life or have people in my life that I value that are a lot of, like, one or a couple kinds of signs, because those are just the people that I'm attracted to, and, like, and I mean attracted to in, like, a personality way of, like, Ghost is a Leo.
Of course she is. You guys are just a carbon copy. Oh, it's like looking in a mini mirror.
Just a little couple of lions roaming around the house.
Gotta roar. I'm curious. I just thought about this because I was thinking about mine since I started in the beginning of our episode with my nails being a toxic trait. It's not really toxic. I hate to use that word.
It's literally not a toxic trait.
It's not toxic. But what are, like, really, really random things about you? Like, you pick your gel nail. Like, three.
Oh, okay.
To end.
Okay, here's my toxic traits.
I just never know how long our episodes are.
No, this is good. I love the question. I mean, because the thing about astrology is that it says stuff about your personality. So we're talking about personality traits. Totally coincides.
Okay, cool.
Okay, like, number one. Number one, I just never answer my text messages.
True.
I'm a really bad text message answerer. I will see it, I acknowledge it, or I just literally won't open it for a whole day. So that's toxic trait number one. Number two is that I'm a very clean and orderly person. You see my apartment, it's quite organized, except for my car. I never clean my car, which is gross.
Oh, I get you.
But it's funny because in my apartment, I'm so, like, meticulous.
Yes.
Like, I'm very meticulous in my apartment, but I just, like, never get my car cleaned or clean my car. So that's toxic trait number two. These are not toxic traits.
No, they're not.
These are
just, we keep, like, saying that.
Poor personality traits.
Not our favorites.
What would number three be? Do you have one? What's number three?
Oh, for you?
For me.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe I definitely have another one.
I could do my two of mine,
but
and then maybe we end.
I'm curious if you can think of one for me.
For you, I can't.
I have one for you.
Oh, great.
That's not why I brought it up.
I'm like, no, Julia, you're not toxic. And she's like, bitch, I have actually 10 things hate about
you. My one for you is that it's funny because I thought about it this morning. I wish that you would stop apologizing and asking for permission so much. You were, like, so upset that you couldn't bring the iron for my clothes. Like, wait, Julia, it's actually a very positive, like, Brenna is so wonderful that she cares so deeply about other people's feelings. Like, it comes from love, but you apologize too much.
I definitely do.
And you, you ask for permission too much instead of just doing what you want.
100%.
Like, she had to ask me if it was okay if she couldn't bring the iron, whereas I would have just not brought the iron and got there and been like, sorry, the iron was leaking, I couldn't bring it.
Yeah, wait, first of all, is my iron, is that normal? It was, I picked it up and it squirted in water.
Yeah,
all over.
I think that's normal.
Julia's like, bring your iron. And I'm like, okay, Julia, I pick up the iron and it spittles all over me.
I'm sorry. But I
no, no,
want
but
you to know that I think it's a beautiful trait of yours. It's because you care and so deeply about people.
Totally.
But to protect your own energy, I would love for you to maybe be a little more
aware. No, I 100% agree. I did this exact same thing last night, and it's not even coming from an annoying place. I did this last night. Tina asked me to come over and watch a Christmas movie, and I was too sleepy. I was literally in my pajamas.
She was so tired. We also had a very early morning today.
Very early morning and like 6-day work week, totally fine, and obviously work for, you know, today technically. And I felt so bad. I was like, I really feel bad. Like, I don't want Tina to feel like she's not important to me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
right,
oh my God, it's really not a big deal.
Right.
And it's really, really, she's right. It's coming from a genuine place of love, but I have acknowledged within myself, and I'm really obviously still practicing this. And stuff like that, I don't even realize are part of that practice just because it comes so naturally to me to react that way.
Yeah.
And I don't like expend every ounce of energy I have on it, but it genuinely, like, it does like hurt my heart.
Right. And that's why I'm saying I would love for you to work on that, because like, there's no reason for that.
There isn't. And I say to Julia, I say to myself, and I fucking preach it to other people, and I'm honest about where I am with it, but like, we really do attract, like, when I, not that I have to be this 100% of the time, but when I post something unapologetically, the amount of feedback, not that it's about the validation, but like, the amount of feedback that I get, I'm like, yeah, like, your energy, yeah, oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know what, that feels right, and that feels like you. But then when I take a step back and care so much about other people's emotions out of love, sometimes I find myself trapped, because it's a lose-lose. It's either I love you, Tina, I go and watch Christmas movies with Tina and literally am so sleep deprived the next day and like all this stuff, or I like listen to being allowed to rest and seeing a friend another day.
Right. And like, you're not hurting anybody
not
by doing
all.
It obviously, like, you would never, you are so aware of other people's feelings, as everybody should be. The world would be better if we cared a little more about each other than about ourselves, but just moment to moment, day to day, like, because that's the type of person you are, because you are such a genuine, caring, aware person, I think you're allowed to just apologize a little less.
Yes. No, and
what
I want
you need
to.
For
and
you.
I would like you and our audience to hold me to that, including on this podcast, because I notice even like talking about certain things, even if I'm passionate about it, even if it adds value to the podcast, like whatever it is, I do often find myself feeling guilty for taking up space, whether it's someone's time, whether it's, you know, it's been less body related, but just I've found guilt in taking up space or being misconstrued or people seeing me as inauthentic, blah, blah, blah. So it's definitely important to me to be authentic. And part of that, I wish to be unapologetic instead of not. So that's definitely one of them. On my silly side, I would say I do not dry myself well when I get out of the shower. So like, I often leave like
hilarious.
A huge puddle. And
I know my third one.
Oh my God, here we go.
I won't forget it.
And when I took a shower at Chris's, and he showered after me, and he was like, he literally, it just made me laugh, because he like demonstrated to me, he's like, you left a literal puddle. He's like, what do? You just do the last rinse, and then you step out, and you just like walk in here. And he like demonstrated to me what I should be doing when I get out of the shower. He's like, first you start with this arm, then you start with this.
He
literally
towel
gave me an instruction.
Demo?
He literally did. I can't believe myself.
25 years of life,
and I still don't know
how to dry herself.
And my second one before Julia's third is huge. Like, I'm 24 and I still wear cartoon socks, and
your toxic trait about socks is that there's always a random sock.
There is always a random sock. There is. Chelsea, me and Chelsea's junior year of college roomed together, and she would just be like, why is your sock on my side of the room? I would always have mismatched socks, random socks everywhere, and it would
cartoon
always end up elsewhere.
Socks.
Yes, Despicable Me is a big sock, and A Secret Life of Pets.
Oh,
love
you
it.
Love
it.
A Secret
I have like Chloe the cat on my right shoe. I like the Disney store. I don't know why. Like not normally, but for some reason I've lost like my sock inventory. It dwindles maybe daily, but oh, the cartoon socks always stick around. Always stick around. Like any random cartoon. Even when we went to London, like Zach Abrams' mom gave me like a London sock with a cartoon, and I still have those. But like my perfectly white clean socks are nowhere to be found. Are eaten by the washing machine
monster doesn't want the cartoon it socks either.
Nobody does. Okay, your trait next.
Oh, that's hilarious. My third trait is not as funny as yours. My third trait was just that I shed.
You do.
So badly.
Mm. And your dog inherited that.
Yeah, my dog also sheds so badly. And my hair is just...
Yeah, you shed a lot, especially when you...
when I, like, flat iron my hair. Style your hair.
Yeah, it's, like, really fascinating.
My sister hates it.
That's really, really fascinating.
She, like, hates when we're in the same... Wait, me and Caitlin haven't lived in the same house since my junior year of high school. So how long has that been?
I have no idea.
Like,
too long.
Me and Caitlin haven't lived in the same house in like 8 years. And she like hates whenever I come to wherever she's staying because she's like, the bathroom is now disgusting because your hair is everywhere.
And Julia's like, she's not wrong. It's like it has attention to detail when it comes to getting ready.
I do.
So she goes like one strand at a time, one eyelash at a time.
Yeah.
She definitely does. Yeah.
And I clean it afterwards, but she hates that it happens. In the moment. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's yours about me.
Yours.
Since I've pointed out one about you. And then we're going to say three things that we love about ourselves to end on a positive.
I love
pro
that.
Pro con pro.
Okay, sugar. I'm honestly struggling, and it's not because...
Because she thinks I'm perfect.
I knew you were going to say something like that. I think it's not like... How to say this?
Are you afraid of offending me?
No, not at all. I just
won't be offended.
I know you won't be offended. I also literally can't think of anything, so this is the only thing I'm trying to gear. I can't believe I can't think of anything. That's like really ridiculous.
I'm perfect.
Julia, no, I'm going to say afraid of things just to go otherwise. Oh, that you're so loyal. That you're so loyal and that sometimes, that sometimes to a fault, that I think you.
That's true.
Lead with love and sometimes like. Choosing the loyalty doesn't always benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's come up in your life a few times. And because you're so loyal, the loyalty piece of Julia like overrides the what does Julia actually want. And then you convince yourself that it's whatever the loyal piece answer would be. And that it's not.
That's always. Very true.
Yeah.
Working on it.
All work in progress.
Okay, three quick things that you really love about yourself because we're going to end on a high note and then you guys are going to hear from Marin on Thursday and we want you to say three things that you love about yourself at the end of this.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay, you want to start?
No, you go.
Okay, I'm a really great listener. I love that I'm a great listener. I love how deeply I love and I love that I'm always willing to go the extra mile.
Yeah, love it. I love that even when I want to give up, I keep going. I love that I really am good at finding the positive in things.
Mm.
And I love that I like to make ordinary things joyful and beautiful.
How lovely.
Pro con pro. Go ahead, say three things you love about yourself. Because remember,
you are
a 10. Why'd you fuck it up?
I'm sorry.
What'd you love?
And remember, it just sounds like an end of like a, I don't even, like a superhero.
Yeah, it kind of does.
It's okay.
Anyway, you're a 10 out of 10, baby.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Roaring Twenties Podcast. Be sure to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts and please subscribe. You're never alone. Our pride sticks together. Tune in every Monday and Thursday for new episodes of Roaring Twenties Podcast.
You get to start your week with us and end your week with us.
With love, Brenda and Julia.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.